Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. In China, decisions about economic development and infrastructure projects are generally handed down from above. Affected communities rarely have any meaningful say in the process and are left to deal with adverse social and environmental impacts as best they can. But as reporter Elise Potaka discovered in southwest Yunnan province, at least one community is forging a new path.
On the cobbled stone streets of Lijiang, an old man plays the Chinese ahu to passing tourists. The town's traditional architecture, as well as the view of the snow-capped Mount Oolong, make it one of China's most popular tourist destinations. Last year, 5 million visitors brought in around $7 billion. A major attraction are the streams, canals and wells which crisscross the town's narrow alleyways. The water in Lijiang is very sweet, this tourist says with a smile as he drinks long mouthfuls from one of the wells. In the past, Lijiang's water came from the snowmelt of Mount Oolong. But the snow has been disappearing for more than a decade now, probably due to a changing climate. With less runoff, the city's water levels also began to drop. Concerned that the diminished water in the canals would draw fewer tourists, local officials went in search of another water source. It's early morning, and at the edge of Lasha Lake, about half an hour out of Lijiang, birds preen in the warming sun. It was here that the government, in the late 90s, built a dam, diverting 40% of the lake's water to the streams and canals of Lijiang. With a total area of over 2,000 acres and more than 3,000 people living close by, the impacts have been huge. Niang Yaojun lives at Sihu village, just uphill from the shoreline. He says they used to live off fishing and growing crops near the lake, but the dam changed all this.
Our fields were flooded, so we asked the authorities to solve the problem and give us farmers other land. They helped us plant potatoes, but when the rainy season came, there were landslides, erosion, and other problems like that.
Looking for a longer-term solution, they engaged the support of researchers from a small local environmental group called Green Watershed. They wanted to find a more environmentally sustainable way to make a living. The researchers suggested that agroforestry could be one part of the solution. Along with their crops and livestock, villagers could grow trees to hold the soil. They could then sell some of the timber.
We started with just 10,000 households in 1998, on an area of 20 acres. 2 years later, we were already seeing profits. It reduced the problem of erosion and increased our income.
Now villagers can make an annual profit of around $3,000 per acre from the timber. This has almost replaced the income that villagers lost when their fields were flooded. Walking along one of Sihu village's dirt roads, He Cui Ma picks up rubbish as she goes. She says they don't want plastic pollution to fall into the lake. She points to another initiative which villagers have started. They now make money from fruit and vegetables grown using less chemicals.
We use few pesticides and we founded a committee to look into this. The most harmful pesticides are now banned and we use much less chemical fertilizer than before. Instead, we use marsh gas fertilizer.
While the group Green Watershed has been integral in setting up the programs, it's a partnership which emphasizes the importance of local knowledge. Hu Changshen is a program officer with the group.
Local people understand this area more than we do. In our opinion, they're the real experts. For example, they know where and when you can harvest wild food to take back with you, what you can and can't eat. They are our teachers.
In Beijing for a conference, founder of Green Watershed and winner of the Goldman Prize for the Environment, Professor Yu Xiaogang, takes time out in a cafe. He believes the project could be used as a model for other communities affected by developments like dams. He says the key is to give the community a stronger voice.
We first find local people very, they are very angry, but they don't know how to raise their idea, their opinion to the government. Local people cannot participate in the decision-making because many decisions are made top-down and made by the outside people, important people, but local people are marginalized, neglected from decision-making.
To change this, they set up local committees to make decisions about fishing and water use. At gatherings like this one, villagers can now exchange views and present their ideas to other stakeholders, including local government representatives. And Professor Yu says those in power are listening. Most recently, villagers and NGOs proposed that some of Li Jiang's tourist profits be shared with upstream communities.
They got a lot of money from the tourism because of the water, so they should also feed back some profit to this lake area. And now the local government gradually appreciate this kind of concept. They decided to allocate some money from tourist business, pay to the upstream, to the lake area. This payment will further encourage the local people to have more sustainable projects to manage this resource.
Starting next year, some of Li Jiang's billion-dollar tourist profits will be sent to Lasher Lake to be used on nature conservation and poverty alleviation. The aim is to channel around $290,000 to villagers each year. Back at the lake, villagers are working together to rebuild the fishing industry as well as initiate small-scale tourism. Here at the lake's edge, they're building a small wharf. Local Liang Zhongkun explains.
The purpose of the wharf is to manage the boats and the fishing industry in the Lashi Lake area. We hope to extend the wharf into a leisure venue where people can watch birds, row boats, and relax.
As the sun sets, locals gather together to eat as well as to sing and dance. They know the challenges are far from over, but at least now they have a new set of survival skills and, more importantly, a seat at the decision-making table. In Yunnan, I'm Elise Portaker for Living on Earth.